¡Órale!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. I'm Jorge Giorgi Martin, flying solo today, doing los waivers, and it's also a special day. It's my birthday, so hey everybody, celebrating with some family today. But hey, because remember, todos somos familia, so I'm celebrating with you a little bit. Gracias for joining us. Como siempre, estamos aquí a sus órdenes, even on our birthdays. Please make sure you're checking out our website at familiaffb.com, which is where you'll also find the Los Waivers column that's going to be coming up very soon, as well as our social media channels at familiaffb on Twitter and our familiaffb Facebook page. Well, our Monday Night Football recap, the Bears and Vikings have had some major defensive tilts over the years, and last night was definitely, surprisingly, that type of game. The major surprise is the Vikings held the Bears without an offensive touchdown throughout the entire game and just 149 yards total. This is the same Viking team that has gotten just gashed by opposing passing games to the tune where they're number 29 ranked against fantasy quarterbacks. The passing game was definitely working for the Vikings, which was surprising against a Bears secondary that's been one of the team's strengths. Kirk Cousins threw for 292 yards and two touchdowns, both to Adam Thielen, who caught 4 of 7 targets for 43 yards. So it was just a good game all around. I mean, he was definitely there when he needed him, because also there was Justin Jefferson. He had a big day, 8 receptions for 135 yards. I know a lot of us want to see the Vikings throw a little bit more. It was good. I mean, Justin Jefferson has really jumped into that number two role behind Thielen, and he's just really complimenting him well. Pre-game, they talked about the gritty dance that he had set up for that he hyped up before for a touchdown, and he said when he scored, unfortunately he didn't, so we're gonna have to be on the lookout for that, because apparently he wants to see LeBron James doing that. Still with Jefferson and Thielen, I mean, the Vikings have two every week starters on the outside. Dalvin Cook, he's got to be sore after, taking the pounding that, against the Bear defense 30 times, 30 carries for 96 yards yesterday. I mean, definitely different from the last two games when he was just running like crazy. One was close to 200, one was over 200. He was held out of the end zone, but he's still one of the top two or three running backs in the game, just having a phenomenal season, averaging almost as many yards per game as Adrian Peterson did the year that he got 2,097 yards. I have to admit, Familia, I had this game wrong. I saw a dome team in the Vikings going into freezing temperatures against a Bear team that is one of the top five defenses in the NFL. I thought the Vikings were going into a meat grinder, and they were 3.5 point favorites, which I thought was just prime for the Bears to cover. I had it wrong, because I thought the Bears, even with an adequate offense, could score some points, but this is not a good offense. Even with an excellent wide receiver in Allen Robinson, they're just not. Nick Foles suffered an injured hip late in the game, which was believed to be a fracture, but thankfully the test came back negative. But they're going into a bye next week, so they're going to be figuring out their quarterback situation, because even if they have to go back to Mitchell Trubisky, he was inactive for this game with a shoulder injury. So vamos a ver. We're going to see if there's anything to be, if there's going to be another change in the guard here. The Bears really look to be in trouble, no matter where they turn at QB, because they had David Montgomery out because in the concussion protocol, and they're gonna use that bye week to try and figure things out in the backfield. Cordarrelle Patterson led the Bears with 12 rushing attempts for 30 yards, and he also caught a couple of balls for 19 yards. His highlight was the only touchdown of the day, which was a 104-yard kickoff return that opened the second half, their only touchdown for the Bears. And I got to tell you, Familia, if the Bears don't improve at quarterback, that makes Allen Robinson probably the only wide receiver worth starting on a weekly basis. And I think at best he's a wide receiver too, because he, people are just having a tough time getting the ball. If people are having a tough time getting the ball to him, he had 6 catches in this game for 43 yards, while Darnell Mooney and Anthony Miller, who I think are going to really suffer if they have a quarterback change, they only caught a pair of passes each in this one. Well, that's it for the Monday Night Football. Let's get into some chisme. Drew Brees, the big story of the day, of the last couple of days, he suffered multiple fractures and a punctured lung on Sunday against the 49ers. I know they're saying 2 to 3 weeks, but to me, it takes, I think, I've had a broken rib before, and it took about 6 weeks to be fully healed. So I think this is going to be something that's going to go for a while. So they haven't announced who the starting quarterback is going to be, but I would hazard a guess it's going to be Jameis time, considering that he played a lot. He took the snaps after the game. So we'll get into him in a second. Christian McCaffrey is expected to miss week 11, according to Adam Schefter, with the bye week coming up in week 13. I just tend to wonder if they're going to hold him out that one extra week in week 12 and week 13, and just make sure that he's completely healthy. You know, they're not likely to be a playoff team. So I don't know if they're going to be able to, you know, rush him back just to, you know, in a lost season, especially with, you know, little to no fans in the stands. And also keep in mind, Mike Davis suffered a finger injury in the last game. So we got to put that in, ponlo en la mira. Keep an eye on this one during the week. So we'll see what happens. Bad news for the 49ers. Jamichael Hasty suffered a broken collarbone. I don't know what running backs did to have all these injuries. I don't know. There's some brujo or some witch doctor out there who's just saying don't let these guys finish the year healthy. Not anything to laugh about. But right now, it really looks like Jerick McKinnon is the only healthy running back in that on that roster. So I know there's talk of Raheem Mostert coming back. So maybe he comes back at just the right time for them. So vamos a ver. Over in Washington, the football team had a player test positive for COVID-19, so they closed down their facilities, and they're going to be kind of monitoring things for the coming weeks. So hopefully nobody else tests positive, so this won't impact the game. Thankfully, you know, the NFL, they've had a lot of tests coming up positive of late, but they've done a great job just to keep this season on intact and going forward. I think it's just I think you just look at, you know, with Ben Roethlisberger last week, he missed the whole week. Even though he sat next to a player who was sat next to a player on the plane, a player who, Vance McDonald, who was COVID positive, and he came back negative and he was able to play. So I think kudos to the NFL for keeping the season on track. Over on the Rams, Andrew Whitworth, I love offensive linemen because I think they're the heart and soul of the teams. Andrew Whitworth, who is very much the heart and soul of that entire team, he's placed on IR with a knee injury. It looks like a sprained MCL. Looks like 6 to 8 weeks out. There's no surgery prescribed at this time, just healing, and that's tough because he's the number 4 ranked tackle according to Pro Football Focus. Joe Noteboom is going to be moving out to the left tackle from the guard position, so apparently he was drafted with the idea of eventually replacing Whitworth, so we're going to see, but maybe Whitworth gets back just in time for the playoffs. Over in Seattle, Pete Carroll thinks that Carlos Hyde is a good chance to play this week, in week 11 against the Cardinals. Remember, that's the Thursday night game. He's considered to be a little ahead of Chris Carson in the return to the field. Remember, Carlos Hyde has missed the last three games, and so we're going to need somebody's going to need to start for Seattle because DJ Dallas just definitely didn't get it done last time. Another injury to keep an eye on is Tyler Lockett. Carroll said he's got a little bit of a knee sprain heading into the game, so that could be said. You know, you always worry about knees with wide receivers, so let's keep an eye on this one. Anything below the belt with a wide receiver is going to be something to keep an eye on for. Knees, hamstrings, thighs, calves, feet. That's also important to those guys. So let's hope he's healthy because he's just such a wonderful player. Some bit of good news over in Cowboys country. Andy Dalton has been activated from the reserve COVID-19 list, so likely going to be back to the starting lineup this week. So good luck to him because they really need the help. Over in Buffalo, Coach Sean McDermott has confirmed that John Brown has an ankle injury, that he suffered last week. They're going into the bye, so that's going to be good timing for them to kind of hopefully get that thing healed up for him. Over with the Jets, Sam Darnold is not going to play this week, week 11 against the Chargers, which is tough because the Chargers have been giving up some points through the air. And he said it's a good, Darnold himself said it's a good decision for him not to play. So, yeah, tough one. I mean, he was such a great ball player at USC. Hopefully he hasn't been, he gets another chance somewhere, because it's really looking like the Jets are going toward Trevor Lawrence, and tanking for Trevor. Oh, so bad. Over in Broncos, with the Broncos, Drew Locke has a rib injury and has a chance he won't play this week's. Oh, that's going to be a rough one if he can't play. I know he's been a little bit inconsistent, but we saw what the Broncos have behind Drew Locke, and they definitely need him in the game. Over in Carolina, Teddy Bridgewater is considered day-to-day with his knee injury. I believe it was a grade one strain of his knee, so which is 1 to 2 weeks, where, 1 week could be him being back next Sunday. So some people compared it to the injury that Ben Roethlisberger had earlier this, a couple weeks ago, so we're going to see. Well, let's get into those waivers. Well, the top waiver priority is going to be Jameis Winston. He's only owned in 3% of leagues, and I got to tell you, he didn't look great this week. Only, completed 6 of 10 passes for 63 yards. But I think with a week of practice as the number one quarterback for the Saints, I think that'll make a big difference for him, as well as look who's waiting for him, Atlanta. So I know they're coming off a bye, and last year they improved coming off a bye defensively, but Atlanta is still getting torched. They're the number 27 pass defense, according to Football Outsiders. So I know that Winston is a little bit of a different player than Breeze, but Sean Payton is his head coach, and he's going to be he's going to put together a scheme centered around Winston's skill set. I'm pretty confident in that. Over in Miami, Tua Tagovailoa. He's owned in 45% of leagues. If you're in a Super Flex or 2QB league, he has to be scooped up. He should be owned. But bye weeks are here. There's injuries. Tua is somebody who could help out a team that's got Josh Allen. Or maybe if you lose out on Jameis Winston and you need a streamer for Drew Brees, you can get Tua. He's going up against Denver. They've been giving up some passing yardage this season. So they're number 17th in fantasy points per game to the quarterback position. But then look at coming up after that. He's got the Jets and Bengals on docket. So those are two definitely very fantasy-friendly defenses for quarterbacks. And we just talked about Kirk Cousins. He's owned in 29% of leagues. I mean, I feel like he's on this waiver wire column every week. He's got a good matchup, and this is a good matchup. He's playing Dallas. The Cowboys are 23rd against fantasy quarterbacks and fantasy points per game. And, it looks like he's got everything that he needs, as far as he's got two good receivers in Cousins and Thielen, and he uses a Dalvin Cook out of the backfield. So, I mean, that's a good recipe for, 250 to 300 yards. And he's got two or more touchdown passes in four of the past five games. So he's going to be helping out in there. And who didn't love seeing Alex Smith throw for 390 yards last week? Well, if you loved it, he could probably be your streamer candidate for this week. He's owning 5% of leagues, and he's going up against Cincinnati this week, and he's got a inviting schedule coming up in the coming weeks. So crazier things. I mean, again, Alex Smith could be two quarterbacks, two flex leagues. He's someone that could be someone to help out your team in the coming weeks. Let's go to the running backs. Salvon Ahmed. 2 weeks ago, none of us heard of him. He only had 7 carries, which was the week before last. But this past Sunday, he got 21 carries for 85 yards and a touchdown. He got 84% of the rush attempts for Miami. They're using him just like they were using Myles Gaskin earlier in the season. Denver is fresh off of getting gashed by Josh Jacobs for over 120 yards. So, and the Dolphins are as hot as any team in football right now. So you want to be able to, if you can get Ahmed, he's a plug and play guy. Maybe someone, not someone that you're just going to be, moving in here and there. Over in Indy, Nyheim Hines, gosh, he looked like Alvin Kamara the last week against the Tennessee Titans. You know, running 12 times for 70 yards and a touchdown, and then catching 5 or 6 targets for 45 yards. He's got 20 plus PPR points in 2 of his last 3 games. I know it's still a committee there, but you know, he could be a flex play that helps you out. And again, he catches passes. And I know that the Packers, who are playing the Colts this week, are a good pass defense, but they've been just getting gashed on the run game. So Hines could get another Kamara type game coming out of Sunday, and this game is going to be in Indy, so he's done well there. Over in the Charger country, Kalen Ballage. I got to tell you, if I would have told you a year ago that Kalen Ballage was going to be starting running back in the NFL for the Chargers this year, adios mio, I don't know what I would have said. I would have laughed so hard. But here he is, two weeks in a row, he's got combined 33 carries. He caught 5 balls last Sunday. The Jets are number 25 against running backs. There are crazier things than firing up Kalen Ballage. You got Austin Eckler still out. Justin Jackson just went on IR. His only competition is Joshua Kelly, who can't seem to hold on to the ball. So Kalen Ballage, crazier things in life. It's just such a 2020 thing, isn't it? Another last running back to talk about, Carlos Hyde. He's got the Arizona on Thursday. He's owned in 10% of leagues. He's missed the last 3 weeks, but it looks like he's a good candidate to come back this week. He could be somebody, you know, right now this type of season, there is so many teams that are needing running backs for their fantasy rosters. Carlos Hyde is as good a bet as any. I mean, remember, don't forget, he got 1,000 yards last year for the Houston Texans. So he's going to be running against Arizona, who is in the middle of the pack defending the run. So crazier things. And remember, coming off a short week, sometimes these games become shootouts, and then all the fantasy players are contributing. Over on the wide receivers, a couple of the interesting options. The number one interesting option to me is Michael Pittman for the Colts. He's going up against Green Bay. He's owning 10% of leagues. You know, he came off the injury, but in the last 2 games, he's just come out guns blazing. He's got 15 targets in the last 2 games, and in the most recent game against Tennessee, he went to 101 yards. So, I mean, it definitely looks like Phillip Rivers is looking for him. Pittman is that big, physical, fast receiver that that teams are looking for. He's 6'4", over 220, kind of like that Julio Jones build. You gotta look at Pittman, because T.Y. Hilton is not a player to go for, and really there's nobody else. Paris Campbell is out for the season, so this guy's the wide receiver one for the Colts, and Phillip Rivers is going to be looking for him. Josh Reynolds is another for the Rams, owning 5% of leagues. He's kind of an interesting one. He's kind of snuck into, you know, the get just as many targets as Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. He's got 27 targets in his last 3 games. This most recent Sunday, he caught 8 of 10 targets for 94 yards, did not get a touchdown, but you know, his percentage is very similar to Kupp and Woods. He's taken a few more deep shots, kind of like that Brandon Cooks role from last year. You know, there are crazier things than Josh Reynolds grabbing him at this point, at this time of the season. One other flyer to keep an eye on, KJ Hamler. He's owning 4% of leagues. He's in Denver. This week he's playing Miami, which is the number 8 defense against the pass. But Hamler's gotten 20 targets in the last 2 games. So it really looks like, you know, Denver is throwing the ball to him a little bit more, kind of calling his number. I know Jerry Jeudy's definitely taken a big step forward this year, but Hamler may be just right behind him. And you got to look at this, you know, these wide receivers that the Broncos have going forward. Obviously, you got Cortland Sutton, who's going to be coming back from injury next year, and he's likely to be healthy, but you got him, you got Jeudy, you got Hamler, and if Noah Fant ever gets himself completely healthy, he's a threat, just a monster out at the tight end position. So something to keep an eye on. These guys could be good. If they could get a consistent quarterback play from Drew Lock, they'd be, you know, they'd be scary. Over in Dallas, Michael Gallup, owning 47% of leagues. He's still, I took a look, you know, he's got 19 targets in his last 2 games. And this week he has Dalton back. And you remember that first game, the game where Dak Prescott got hurt. Dalton found Gallup twice in the closing minutes, two long games. So Dalton definitely is looking for him. And again, the Vikings are the number 29 defense against fantasy wide receivers. So, and this game is going to be in Minnesota, so it's going to be on the fast track. Gallup could get loose for a long ball, or just be targeted here. 6 to 8 targets this week. This is good to get potentially a good flex play for you this week, or maybe in a deep roster. Last but not least, we're going to go to the tight ends. We just got one, and really right now, if you're drawing breath and you're actually 6'5" and 250 pounds and can run under 5 in the 40, somebody's wants you on their fantasy, not their fantasy roster, their NFL roster for to play tight end. But Logan Thomas has 12 targets in the last two games, and you got to look at the fact that they're playing Cincinnati. This game is going to be in Washington, and they are number 31 against fantasy tight ends. So Logan Thomas has had some good games. And remember, Alex Smith likes to throw the ball short to intermediate ball. So you got to figure that Thomas could be an option for him. All right, familia, that's it. Eso es todo for our show, our mini edition, our Los Waiver edition of the show. Gracias again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out in the familia community. Please make sure to subscribe at Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you could leave us an Apple review, that'd be great. Remember, follow us on Twitter at FamiliaFFB and check out our original content on FamiliaFFB.com as well as our Familia FFB Facebook page. Gracias, everybody. And remember, todos somos familia.